This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. So Megan Neely, a Duke University professor and the director of graduate studies of Duke's Biostats MA program, recently found herself in the center of a controversy for an email that she wrote. The email was in effect asking Chinese students not to speak Chinese loudly in a building. She wrote on a listserv that her colleagues, now I presume it's senior colleagues, but because I assume that if it was a peer, you'd be like, well, just send it out yourself. But anyhow, she wrote that other faculty were complaining about students talking loudly and in Chinese and said, quote, they were disappointed that these students were not taking the opportunity to improve their English and were being so impolite as to have a conversation that not everyone on the floor could understand, which I was like, oh, please. But in any case, this is basically a letter telling Chinese students don't speak Chinese. And the professor found herself at the center of controversy and ultimately resigned her position as DGS. Your take on this story? Who wants to jump in, or shall I start? Maybe I'll
start? Sure.
I'll start. I'm tenured. But okay, so here I'm going to give some background, because I also was the director of graduate studies of a program, and I did it as an assistant professor pre-tenure. And before going into how that sheds light on the story, I want to say to all my untenured colleagues out there, do not do it. Do not be a director of graduate studies. That's a job for someone with tenure. I was lucky because I have ultra supportive colleagues in a great department. But if someone is asking you to be DGS, take a pause and ask yourself if you're being set up to succeed in your pursuit of tenure. I think you're not. I actually think it's not a good idea. So stay away from it. But an assistant professor who's a DGS is not in a strong position. That's a position of weakness, in my view, because you're in a department where senior colleagues are pushing jobs that are ill-suited onto junior faculty. And when I read the email, I saw it as a warning. Like, she's saying, listen, there are colleagues, I was presuming senior, though I might be wrong, who harbor these views, be careful. Now, that's not the way to handle it. You should, if this problem emerges, just kick it up to the dean's office. I mean, if you don't feel like challenging your senior tenured colleagues openly. But like, I feel like the university just threw this woman under the bus. Like, we haven't heard from the people who were making the request. I to some degree think that they're shooting the messenger. Now, I think she was wrong to write that email, but I see people who are more powerful getting a pass. I've gotten negative responses for that, saying that I'm acting as an apologist for, and I'm not. But or maybe I was inadvertently, and I do agree that like she was definitely in the wrong. That email never should have been written. But like, there's something that bothers me about seeing an assistant prof DGS be the only one who is bearing the brunt of this scandal. Any responses, or don't want to touch it?
I think there's a couple interesting details that I saw roll out in real time on the internet when this story broke, I think like Saturday night, which was that this assistant professor had actually sent a very similar email 1 year earlier, which had also been tagged as highly problematic and had been brought to the attention of administrators. But clearly some conversations had not been had, or changes had not been made, because she effectively plagiarized herself in the email that was sent about a year later, where it has the same sort of rhetoric around it. And of course, like, I being like a nosy netta who had Google at the ready, I think I was like in bed on my phone just looking at this train wreck, I of course like went straight to whatever this program is that she's the DGS of, because I'm thinking like, why is an assistant professor of the DGS within an hour of this news breaking, she stepped down. So she didn't give up, obviously, like her faculty position, but she self-removed herself as DGS. So I'm thinking, like, what broke down program are you a part of that you know, this became sort of your like escape hatch out of this thing? And so I did a little bit of digging, and I apologize if this is a mischaracterization of the program of which she's a part, but it seems like it's this master of biostatistics. It's in some ways looks like a revenue generating program for the university, something where it's bringing in a really significant proportion of international students. I think it's meant to be a platform for them to then enter other graduate programs, you know what I mean? And so it's just started to stink the more and more I looked at this. And then they uncovered the email from last year from this professor, and I was just thinking, wow, like, this is really a referendum on far bigger systemic issues in American higher education right now.
Yeah. Bart?
Wow. That Netta, that's terrific investigative work. I think you should write it up in the form of an op-ed somewhere, because that's a more profound reading of this than I think I've heard. you know, that's really interesting. I mean, my first reaction was, oh, Duke. No, I spent 2 years. I spent two wonderful years at Duke's terrific sociology department as a graduate student. That's where I started my PhD.
It's a great department.
Yeah, it's a wonderful department. I was there before I moved to Princeton, and it was a really important formative time for me. And I have a lot of love for Duke, but Stephen Miller, Richard Spencer, the lacrosse scandal, and then this, you know, Duke just can't get a break. So anyway, I'll leave it to Duke to figure out why and what to do about it. But I think in terms of this particular thing, I mean, it's just an awful disaster. I think that the email was horrible. The sentiment behind the email is obviously ridiculous and toxic. And when I first saw the email, I shared your response, Joe, and I was thinking, well, yeah, so the email is terrible. What she did was generally awful, and she should be somehow punished for it. But what about those faculty members that came into her office and complained about the students in the first place? They're not getting the same level of critique as she is, and they certainly deserve it, because they, as she wrote, they essentially threatened not to hire the students because they were speaking Chinese in the public space, which is just awful.
That's terrible.
But having heard Netta's take on this, it sounds like that was potentially fabricated, because the same email went out the year before without any mention of senior colleagues. So who knows? I guess the bottom line is you know, this is the kind of thing we don't need in universities. Forget deplatforming and all the other things that people are so concerned about. It's this kind of level of everyday racism that is a huge problem. And, you know, the students in this program must feel terrible going forward, because they know that they're not being protected by administrators and faculty. I think, Joe, you're absolutely right. If there were some faculty who came into her office and in fact did threaten not to hire the students, she should have gone straight to the dean or the department chair. She should have also spoken out against them, although of course that's sometimes a hard thing to do for a junior faculty member.
It is.
But not send out this terrible email. So I have not much to say beyond that. I think Netta really nailed all of it. So Netta, go write that op-ed.
Look, I have no direct experience with the university down there, except that, again, like, I'm a big fan of our friends in the sociology department there. And so I think for me, it just brought up these bigger issues that we know are huge problems, right? The way that we treat international students as revenue generating cash cows, literally, like, at some institutions, they're called basic unit or basic income units, BIU. So, you know, there's a really significant racism aspect to this, sort of dehumanization of these students who want to be here. They want to learn. They want to, you know, move forward with their career goals. And we do such a huge disservice to them. And so I think this was a really egregious case, but all of our universities, like, part of the shop is running this way. I guess that's what it brought up for me.
Yeah. It's also like, to my advice to people who are running similar programs, based on my own experience, is like, dudes, learn to differentiate command of English, command of statistics, and like overall assessments of professionalism, like intelligence and all of that. Like, my experience is a lot of people conflate all of these things, and You know, I and like students do learn English on their own. Like, I don't know how easy they think it is to resist assimilation in like small town, you know, North Carolina, but like here in Flushing, all our students assimilate, like they learn English, and like Flushing, you can avoid English no problem. So, you know, and you can benefit by making that differentiation. Like our enrollments, we get tons of amazing quants who are just in the early phases of learning English. And, you know, after 2 years, they're going to learn it. So I say don't obsess over language.
I think, this is ridiculous. Like they were not being tested, right? This wasn't an environment where like their academics were being assessed or anything like that. This is them like, if I'm not wrong, like hanging out in the lounge or in the hallway. This is in their own time. This is really about like the policing of their social lives in this informal space. And so any kind of concern trolling about the assimilation of our international students, I think we really have to question, right? Like, what are the terms of this engagement? Are we talking about, you know, a sort of baseline ability to conduct academic work in the official language of English? Or are we talking, right, about kind of profiling the personal lives of these students? There.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.